Okay, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're just going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Obedience of the Heart, The Inward Obedience of the Heart. Excuse me. And we've been looking in several classes one of the main things that I've really been looking at during these classes, these past classes, is just that this is the old covenant where God was from without, on the outside, from afar, versus now in Christ Jesus is the new covenant. God is near, even in you, if you are born again. And He is not from afar. He is not far away. He is not without, but within, even in the soul, in His land. All right? So I was just thinking about that we have covered just that, how that we are in a new covenant, because the new covenant, Christ Himself, is in us. Okay? Now, part of that, and I think we covered a little bit of this in our last class, but during the old covenant, when everything was according to the outward, on the outside, man could do things according to his ability outward. Okay? But now, being a new covenant, man is actually out of the picture, I guess. Because think about this. Think of it this way. Man can affect all of the outward. Okay? He can affect that which is on the outward. Man cannot affect that which is on the inside. Man cannot affect that which is on the inside. The Lord does this. We see this, I think we looked at it in our last class. We see this basically, I'll just do a quick review of one of our last classes. It's, you see it from the beginning. You just see it from the beginning. I'm thinking of, I think it's Galatians, I'm not sure, but where Paul says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now, listen, made perfect by the flesh? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? No. Having begun in the Spirit, by the Spirit, perfection, the end, is still by the Spirit, in the Spirit. It's nothing to do with the outward man. Nothing to do with our ability. Okay? here's the verse. It's in John. It's John chapter 1. John chapter 1, let me just jot this down. And I'll just start with verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. Was it their power? No. He gave power. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Here we go, verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. Let's go ahead and just stop right there. The beginning, new birth, is not of man, is not after man, is not after the flesh, is not after the will of man. Not the will, not the ability, not to will and to do. Not the will nor the ability. It is but of God. Listen, not man, but God in the beginning. That's a miracle. It is a miracle of God that new birth takes place. Okay? It is also no less a miracle of God that we behold our salvation, that we behold our life, that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God would be revealed, would appear in our soul, which is only found in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? This also is no less a miracle of God. Why? Look at our verse, Acts 26:16. Jesus says to Saul at the time, "I have appeared unto thee." Here we go. The beginning. I have appeared, the appearing of Christ. Life appears, salvation appears where there was no life before, where there was no salvation before, because Christ appears. "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me, for I have appeared unto thee, and thy seeing me hereafter." Okay? I have appeared unto thee. I have. You did not conjure me up. You did not make this happen. This was not in your ability. I have appeared. Okay? And the Lord was dealing with his heart, because before he says that, he says this, "Saul, Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. I'm dealing with your heart, and you are resisting." That's basically what it was. Okay. So in the beginning, we begin because of a work of the Spirit. We come to the end by that same work of the Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit in all things. "It is not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Okay, this is not our ability. Now, with our class, the obedience of the heart, and I've said it several times, we must be obedient unto the voice, that our hearts would turn to see the voice. There's the obedience of the heart, the obedience of the heart, turning to see the voice. Okay, this also is a work of the Spirit. See, we cannot turn our own hearts unto the Lord. We cannot be obedient unto the Lord. It is his obedience working in us. It is his Spirit working in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his Son in me." His good pleasure. He is working to will and to do. Not us. Okay. But what happens? We like the people of God in the wilderness. They are come into the door. They are come into life, out of darkness into light, out of death into life, and yet blind. They enter through the Passover, through the door of the Passover. They go through the burial, through the Red Sea, and they come forth in resurrection as a type of Christ. And then here they are. Moses, I've shared this before previously, Moses comes down with the two tables of testimony. That's what it is, the tables of testimony, the testimony of Christ. Moses comes down showing them Christ. That's what Moses did. What did God give for his people? Christ. And instead of beholding Christ, they saw a list of do's and don'ts and said, "I can do that." Even during these classes, I know by now, I know I've mentioned this, I use diagrams a lot. And just to be able to convey an idea. But see, understanding the idea that's conveyed or the words that are conveyed is still not seeing the Word. It is still not beholding Christ. And we can see a type of Christ in the Scripture, in the testimony, because "they are they that testify of me," is what Jesus said. We can see a type of Christ in the testimony. But even then, that doesn't mean that Christ has been revealed in our heart. That means that with our natural eyes and our natural brain understanding, we have seen from afar Christ in the Scripture. I would call that hearing. You've actually heard the voice in your heart, in your soul. But then, that births an expectation that it has one purpose. The testimony has one purpose, to birth in our expectation to behold that very Christ of whom it speaks. Now, it is to turn the heart unto the Lord, to be obedient unto the voice. Ah, it's still a work of the Spirit. See, I believe it's a miracle of God to see Christ in the testimony. I do. Why do I say that? Paul, before he was Paul, before Christ appeared, he was Saul. And Saul, with a thorough knowledge of the Scripture, wasted the church, which is the body of Christ. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Do you see what I mean? It is a miracle of God that we see Christ in the Scripture. It's a greater miracle that that same Christ that we see in the Scripture would be revealed in our hearts. And how? By what means? The heart turning unto the Lord. The heart turning unto the Lord. How? By what means? Being obedient. Obedience. By how? By what means? Yielding unto the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. In Kings, it was Elijah who was praying the priestly prayer. And forgive me, I know I've shared this. He was praying, Lord, that this people may know. See, at that point, the people of God, they were worshiping Baal. They considered another one to be their master. They considered another one, that they considered that they were joined to another one, another. They were off in their ignorance, in their vain imaginations. So here's Elijah. I love it. Even in, I think it's Malachi, he will come in the spirit of Elijah, drawing the hearts of the children unto the fathers and the fathers unto the children. Here's Elijah, sets up the altar, prays his priestly prayer. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Beautiful. Father, single seed and increase. Let this people know that I have done all these things according to thy word, and that thou hast turned their hearts back unto you again. There you go. It is a work of the Spirit. It is a work of God. It is not our work. Not at the beginning, not in the beginning, and not in the end. And yet the Lord declares the end, which we've already looked at in previous class, from the beginning. This thy seeing me, there it is, thy seeing me hereafter. Declaring the end from the beginning. The appearing of Christ in the soul. The appearing of Christ. The revealing of the indwelling Christ. But when it, listen, but when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. Who did that? God. Not Paul. No. God. Not a work of the flesh. Not of the will of the flesh. The will of man. No. But of God. Okay? So this is the work of the Spirit. And even in obedience, even in being obedient, listen, we've looked at a previous class, we've looked at John on the Isle of Patmos. John says, I heard the voice that spake with me. I heard the voice. I turned to see the voice. You say, well, there it is, Jimmy. He was obedient unto the voice. Yes. Do you know by what means? Before that, some verses before that, is beautiful the way John begins it. I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In the Spirit. I was not in my own ability. In the Spirit. I was yielded to the Spirit of the Lord. I was yielded to the work, to the dealing of the Spirit of the Lord. I was, as Joshua put it, what saith my Lord unto thy servant? I was yielded. I am yielded unto the working of the Holy Spirit, unto His work. The work of the Spirit. Okay? His labor. Not mine. His. I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord. And I heard a voice. I turned to see the voice. Okay? That's it. Obedience through the Spirit. It's an obedience through the Spirit, not an obedience on our part. Like I said, during the old covenant time, hey, their obedience was from without. They had to do things on the outside. They had to do things. Why? Because they were to be a perfect testimony of Christ. Right? For us who are in the new covenant, not the old covenant, but the new covenant from within, it is all a work of the Spirit. It is all a work of the Spirit. And you can see the new covenant even during the old covenant time. You know, the Lord saying, I will. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. One, two, three maybe. Classes back, we looked at a passage in Ezekiel. Ezekiel's conversation with the Lord. Lord, how shall these dry bones live? The Lord responds, I will put my Spirit in them. And they shall live. I will. See, declaring New Testament. I will. New Covenant. I will. In them. In. I will. Okay. So, now, as I stated before, I believe it is a miracle of God to see Christ in the testimony. Listen, it is of God to see Christ in the testimony. It is not of man. And even though he be declared the of those who have seen him in the testimony, though they declare him unto others, the others must also see Christ in the testimony by work of the Spirit in them. Look at it this way. Okay, that is still not the revealing of Christ on the inside. Okay? And this is the verse that I was thinking of. Jesus asks his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they say, well, one says this, one says the other. And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Making it very personal. Who do you say that I am? Oh, there you go. Do we know who Christ is? Listen, if you do not see, you do not know. Luke 24. There, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were holden, their eyes were veiled, that they did not know him. And later on in that chapter, their eyes were opened and they knew him. If you do not see, you do not know. Who do you say that I am? And all of a sudden, Simon, Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, Jesus rejoiced in that. He rejoiced in what? The work of the Spirit. Simon Barjona, flesh and blood. Once again, with John chapter 1, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. To see Christ in the testimony, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But my Father. During that time was an old covenant time, though the new covenant himself was with his disciples, right? Here were his disciples. They were in one place, Jesus in another. It was an old covenant time for them, yet Christ is the new covenant. All right? To see Christ in the Scriptures is a miracle of God. It is of God. Flesh and blood did not reveal this one unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, unto you. Do you see the difference? Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. Unto you. Separation. That which is revealed, listen, that which is revealed of God unto us, and God only reveals one. There's only one revelation of God. There is only one vision of God. That is His Son. There is no other. His Son is the vision of God. His Son is the revelation of God. That which God reveals unto us, God desires to reveal in us. Why? Because we are not in the old covenant. We are in the new covenant where it is on the inside. In, from within. Not from without, but from within. Okay? This is the work of the Spirit. All right? Also, begun in the Spirit, you end in the Spirit. The beginning and the end. Another example, which we shared in a previous class, the rich young ruler. What must I do to have eternal life? What must I do? Jesus' response, okay, you want eternal life? Here. Here. Just like Moses, here, presenting the tables of testimony. Presenting the testimony. Christ presenting himself unto this man. And all the man says, I've kept the law. I've done that to the T since I was a youth. Okay then. Then sell everything you consider valuable, of value, of worth unto you, and come follow me. And he could not. He went away sad. So the disciples, oh, who then can be saved? The Lord's response, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. The beginning of God, the end of God as well. The beginning and the end. Okay. Let's... Let's look at this passage here. This is Exodus. And forgive me if I read this passage in a previous class. But I was just looking at it once again. Exodus 23. Verse 20. Behold, here's the Lord speaking, I send, behold, I send an angel before thee. I love this. You can look up this, you can search out the term before or before thee. I'm not sure which, if it's two different terms in the original language. Most likely, it's probably Strong's number 6440, I'm guessing. It means before the face, the presence, the face, the countenance. I send an angel before thy face. We could stop right there. The angel is before thy face. Behold, I do this. For what purpose? To keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. To keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now this is God the Father speaking to God the Son, because first and foremost, it is a type of Christ. Okay? It is also for our souls, because we are joined to that very Christ. Christ is our life. It is as a rest unto our souls. That he, listen to this, that he that began a good work, the good work in you, remember good, when I say good, I'm using good, the term good, from Genesis. The evening and the morning was the first day. God saw the light, that it was good. Good, light. He that began the good work in you is faithful to complete it. Right? Is faithful to complete it. Began the good work in you. This, thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. Let there be light. Let there be light. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. From day to day to day to day. Appearing to appearing to appearing to appearing. Revealing of Christ unto revealing of Christ unto revealing of Christ unto revealing of Christ. It never ends. It is not supposed to end. It is a continual appearing. Not a one-time thing. Even in the natural, our heart beats continually. It just doesn't beat once and then that's it. No. We breathe continually. We don't just breathe once and then that's it. No. Okay. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. I love that. Obey his voice. Obey his voice. When he speaks, turn to see the voice. And here's the deal. Back with the man, the rich young ruler, he went away sorrowful, for he had much. He could not. He had no ability in himself. So he went away. At that point, the thing he did not do, which he could have done, would be, as I shared, that one man, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I cannot do this. It is not in me, in my person, to do this. It is not in my ability to do this. I cannot. I cannot. Just like the lame man, I think it was at the pool, maybe the pool Bethesda, I'm not sure, and the angel would come in, and Jesus came to him, what would you have me do for you? And the guy said, I'm here, and an angel comes and stirs the water, and I'm just waiting for someone to pick me up and put me in the pool. But when I try, someone else comes before me. Or as Philip spoke to the eunuch, do you understand what you are reading? Are you aware that it is declaring Christ? His response, how can I? I have no man except a man teach me. I don't know. It's not in me. And that's the thing. We think it is in our ability to do all these things when it is not. Having begun in the Spirit, are we now made perfect? Are we now come unto the perfect one in the flesh? By means of the flesh? No. 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 The beginning and the end. The work of God in the beginning, the work of God in the end. It's the same work. This thy seeing me hereafter. Christ appearing as light. Christ appearing as life. Is the same work of God as Christ appearing as the light of life. Okay? Obey His voice. Yielding to the work of the Spirit. Lord, I am disobedient. I am not obedient. Apart from you, I love the way David said this. My goodness is nothing apart from you. You are my goodness. You are my goodness. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. All right. Or, I've got a marginal note, I will afflict them that afflict thee. And here's another thing, brother and sister. We are so, how shall I say it? We are so consumed with our own imaginations and illusions that we do not realize what our enemies or adversaries are. We don't. Our enemy, our adversary, is our imagination, our illusions of that which we believe to be our life and of that which we believe to be our relationship with God. Our perception of what we believe is our life and our perception of what we believe is our relationship with God. And they are both founded upon our imaginations and illusions. These are our adversaries, our enemies. Remember, what did God speak to the people of Israel who were a type of Christ, who would go in and possess the land? Destroy their idols, destroy their altars of worship, destroy their images. We looked at those in the original. What were they? Imaginations, illusions. Destroy these things. And yet we hold dear to our illusions, to our imaginations. But that's all it is. It's not. We have concepts based upon our perception of what we believe to be our life and of what we believe to be our relationship with God. But listen, till Christ appear, we have no true concept, no true understanding. When Christ appears, it is not a concept. It is reality. That's the difference. When Christ appears, when the substance appears, it is reality. Till then, it's just our imaginations and illusions. We think we know Christ when we don't. We know, listen, it's true, we know about Him, but we truly do not know Him till He appear. I can hand you my driver's license, or you can watch these videos or listen to these audios, and you can say, yes, I know Jimmy Ned Collins. I know him. Well, no, you don't. You know about me. Till I appear, you truly do not know me, and vice versa. I can hand you my driver's license to a person who has never seen my face, who has never known me, and they can study my driver's license. It has detailed information about the person, and they can say, yes, I know this one. No. They know about this one. Till I appear, they know me not. The same thing with the Lord. We have our concepts based on our perception of what we see with our natural eye, what we understand with our natural mind, what we understand and hear with our natural ear. But in reality, till Christ appear, we do not know Him. We are ignorant, and there's the confession. I am ignorant, I do not know, and I cannot know except the Spirit reveal in me. And that's it. But no, just like when Moses came, down the mountain with the tables of testimony, just like when Jesus started presenting the testimony unto the rich young ruler, the people say, I can do that. I can do it. The rich young ruler, I've done it. Instead of coming to the one of whom they declare, of whom they testify of, and seeing, you are a person. I cannot be you. I cannot be, listen, an imposter. I cannot go on being an imposter. That's what it is. At that point, Lord, I cannot. Do Thy work in me by Thy Spirit that He is so faithful to do, yielding unto the Spirit of the Lord. Yielding, not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. Yielding unto the work of the Spirit. I cannot, Lord, but You can. But You can. Praise God. Praise God. All right. But if thou shalt indeed obey His voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For My angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. All these little things that you carry in your imagination, all these little things that you carry in your illusions, I will cut them off. How? Obedience unto My voice. How is the obedience unto the voice? Lord, I cannot. Work Thy obedience in me. Cause my heart to turn to be obedient unto the voice. Let me be yielded unto Thy Spirit, unto the work of Thy Spirit in my heart, in my soul. That You perfect in my heart that which You've begun. And what is the Spirit of the Lord perfecting in our heart? Really, what is it? Is it something that He has to do to make more perfect or to complete? No. To bring to completion is to bring us in understanding unto that which is complete, unto that which is consummated, unto that which is finished. Jesus said it himself in the cross when he was crucified. It is finished. That's it. To bring us unto completion, to bring us unto perfection, is to bring us to behold the perfect man, Christ himself. Is to bring us in our hearts unto where we are in reality. That reality would be made effectual in us. That which is true would be known in our hearts as true. That we would be, listen, governed by the truth, governed by the light, governed by reality, governed by the mind of Christ. That's it. I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Did you know that? All right. It goes on, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And I will send hornets. I love that. I will send hornets before thee, will drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the against thee. I will little by little drive them out from before thee. Okay, right there. I just want to read this. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Verse 30. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Okay. First of all, when you are born again, you are not birthed of a small Christ. No. When you are born again, you are birthed of a glorious Christ. But our understanding of this glorious Christ is small. We have a small understanding, if we have any understanding at all. Okay? This little by little is where the Lord says this, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. This appearing of me and the appearing of me hereafter. See, each time the Lord appears in our soul, then there is more of reality, more of the mind of Christ governing. See, this is what happens. Each time the Lord appears in our soul, then an illusion, imagination that we have that governs us, because our imaginations and our illusions govern us. So a man thinks in his, he is in his heart, so he is. They govern us. Each time the Lord appears, hey, that's done away with. That illusion, that imagination is done away with. And we are governed more by the mind of Christ, beholding the face of Christ. Okay? We will either be governed by light, reality, or we will be governed by darkness, imagination, illusion, the lie. The lie. Okay? We will be governed by one or the other. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Okay? So, there you go. Till the heart turns, the imagination, the illusion remains. The lie remains and governs till the truth appear, till the light appear. And instantly, the mind of Christ governs. Okay? That's the whole deal with this little by little. See, when we're born again, the picture is in the tabernacle and in the temple. The glory of God fills it. When the glory of God enters the tabernacle or the temple, he fills it. Fills it completely with himself. All activity of man gone outward. New birth. We've seen it. Jesus comes into his temple, drives out everything that is not him. And he alone remains in his house, in his temple. But here it is. The glory of God fills his house, fills his temple. Now that which remains is the knowledge of the glory of God that fills the earth. The knowledge of the glory of God that must now fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. See, the glory of God fills the earth completely, whether we understand it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we know it or not. Now, the knowledge of the glory of God must fill the earth as completely as the glory of God fills the earth. The knowledge must fill the earth, our soul. That's it. That, there you find the little by little, the increasing knowledge. Because as I've stated before, it is not a one-time turning unto the Lord. It is not a one-time appearing of Christ. It is not a one-time revealing of the Son. Oh, it must be initial. Christ must appear. Yes, to begin, you must begin. To be in purpose, you must begin in purpose. Having begun in purpose, you must continue in purpose. Remember, walk of faith. Walking in the light. Okay? Where were we? Verse 31. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Unto verse 32. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. That's it. Just don't join with them. Okay? I will set thy bounds. I love this. I will set thy bounds with one purpose. With one purpose. Let me jot this before I forget it. Okay. I will set thy bounds with one purpose. We're going to see that purpose in Acts. Acts chapter 17. I bet you thought I was going to say Acts chapter 26. No, it's Acts chapter 17. Okay. Don't you love the Lord? He is faithful. He is faithful unto His Son. He is faithful unto purpose. He is faithful. That's what He said to Israel, who was a type and shadow of Christ. I will bring you into the land. I will drive out all before thy face. Don't you love it? Before thy face. He is faithful unto the purpose. He is faithful unto His Son. I love it. The glory of God filling the land. Now the knowledge of the glory of God filling the land. Okay. So the Lord sets our bounds with one purpose. And here it is, Acts chapter 17, verse... verse 23. Well, let me go back a little bit. I'll start with verse 22. I love this. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. You can check it out as religious. Verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, or gods that you worship, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. And there is, I know I stated it in one of our last classes, man has no ministry. There's only one ministry. There's the ministry of the Spirit of the Lord. We either co-labor with the work of the Spirit, or we do no work at all. There's only one ministry. It's the ministry of God. He is making known the unknown God. See, I said it before. We have our concepts. We have our imaginations and our illusions based on our perception of what we think we know of our relationship with God. See, we have a concept of God. But in reality, He is unknown until He appears. The work of the Spirit causing us to know the unknown God. Why? He can only be known by the Spirit. By God Himself revealing Him. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. See, we don't want to say we're ignorant. No, brother, I've walked with the Lord several years. Has Christ appeared in your soul? Has Christ appeared in your heart? Well, what are you talking about? No, I don't care the volume of scripture that you've memorized, that you've quoted, that you've possibly even taught from. That would bring you to the level of Saul of Tarsus, who wasted the church. We don't want to admit our ignorance. And by doing so, we do this under the Holy Spirit. We say, no, I can do it. The Holy Spirit comes presenting Christ, just as Moses came with the tables of testimony to present Christ. And they said, nope, I can do it. Instead of saying, I cannot. I have no concept what you want from me. I cannot do this. But we, like these of Mars Hill of Athens, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. We worship the Lord ignorantly. But Jesus says, they whom worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The truth which we find in the face of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Okay? Whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Ignorance in your imaginations and illusions. And I know they were not born again, so here they are with their imaginations and their illusions. Listen, I said this before. Here's the one who's not born again. They have their imaginations and illusions of what they believe to be their life, having no life at all. Here is the born again believer with his imaginations and illusions of what he believes to be his life, yet ignorant of the life he has. To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. Whose work is that? Is that the ministry of Paul? No. Paul is just co-laboring with the Spirit of God, because this is what the Spirit of God does. Jesus said, He shall take that which is of mine and declare it unto you. Show it unto you, that ye may know. That's simple. All right. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything. There you go. Seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Here we go. That they should seek the Lord. Here is the purpose that the Lord sets our bounds. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. That they should seek the Lord, and haply they might feel after him and find him. This is like a man groping about at noonday and yet in darkness, groping about while in the light. Here it is. With one purpose are you come into the house, that you may see the light of the house. That's the purpose of being in the house, that you may see the light in the house. That's the purpose of the Lord setting your bounds. Okay. Let's see. I'm running out of time here. This is the work of the Spirit. I think I have a little bit of time. Numbers 14:23, this is when the children of Israel were in type in resurrection, and then they refused to go into the land. They refused their purpose for existing. And the Lord says to them, surely, it's Numbers 14:23, the Lord says, surely I live. You have a concept and you believe that you live, but surely, truly, truly, I say, I live. I am the life here. And he says this, my glory shall fill the earth. Now this is before Israel came into the land. He says, declares it, my glory shall fill the earth. Okay? Goes on. In Isaiah, we see the heavenly declaration. The heavenly confession. Here it is. Isaiah chapter 6 verses 1 through 5. I saw also the Lord, his train filled the temple. Verse 3, and one cried unto the other. These are the seraphims flying. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is after they are in the land. Isaiah is declaring this. This is, they're in the land at this point. And forgive me, I know it in the book of Isaiah, forgive me if they were carried away captive. But it's the heavenly declaration. They had come into the land. This is the heavenly declaration of the land. The whole earth is full of his glory. Why? Because Isaiah lifted up his eyes and he saw the Lord. He saw reality, regardless of, at that time, what Israel was seeing. Or shall I put it this way? Or at that time, what Israel was seeing. Ignorant. Ignorant of God. The unknown God whom they vainly worshipped. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship. All right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glories, of his glory. Then he goes on to say in verse 5, for my eyes, woe is me, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In Joshua chapter 5, we find the same thing with Joshua. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, stood a man. We've covered this passage before. And the Lord says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his feet, on his face, to the earth, and did worship in understanding. I love that. He worshipped in understanding. What saith my Lord unto his servant? The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Loose thy sandal off thy foot. For this place is not a walk of man, it is a walk of faith. For ye have beheld, and this is faith, beholding. Okay. Habakkuk, and it's all the Lord of hosts, the captain of the Lord of hosts. Hosts, here it is. This is where this happens. This is where we in our hearts. All right. It is Christ appearing as the captain of the Lord of hosts. As the Lord of hosts, that we know that his glory fills the whole earth. Here's another passage. This is Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is the Bible in basic English. I'll go ahead and read it there. I will take my position and be on watch, placing myself on my tower, looking out to see what he will say unto me, and what answer he will give me to my protest. And the Lord gave me an answer and said, put the vision in writing and make it clear on stones on the tablets of the heart. I love that. This is the work of the Spirit doing this, not on tables of stone, but on the tablets, the fleshly tables of our heart, revealing the Word. Okay? So that the reader may go quickly. For the vision is still for a fixed time and is moving quickly to the end. And it will not be false. Even if it is slow in coming, go on waiting for it, because it will certainly come. It will not be kept back. Did you love that? As for the man of pride, my soul hath no pleasure in him, but the upright man will have life through his good faith. Verse 4, excuse me, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the sea is covered by the waters. That's all that's left. That's all that's left. Okay? I have one little passage left right here, because we are so prone to casting our gaze downward. And yet the Spirit continually dealing with our hearts, that our hearts would submit to His dealing, and by His ability, by His power, by His might, be obedient unto the voice, to turn to see the voice. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He just didn't say I was in the Lord's day. No, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. Okay, this is Numbers 15, 37 through 41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments. They wore like a garment, and the fringes on the bottom. Okay. Throughout their generations, this was ongoing from generation to generation to generation. This is what this generation would do, and the next generation would do, and the next generation would do. And that they put upon the fringes of the borders a ribbon of blue. And I looked up several different commentaries. Basically, blue, it was like a blue, purplish, dark, deep blue, deep purplish color. It represents, listen, the heavenlies. That's what it represents. It represents the heavenlies. Okay? A ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart, and your own eyes, your own perception, your own ignorant desires, perceptions, illusions, imaginations. That's all it is. After which you used to go a-whoring. There it is. Verse 40, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. I'll say this, which brought you unto life to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Here's my comment that I have for Numbers 15, 38 through 39. These fringes and ribbon of blue were there at the garments, so that when the people of God, who were and are so prone to cast their gaze downward, to cast, though they be in resurrection. See, at that point, at that time, Old Covenant, they were in type in resurrection. For us, New Covenant, we are in resurrection, because the resurrection, Christ Himself is in us. If you are born again, Christ is in you. You may be ignorant of that, but that does not negate the reality that Christ is in you if you are born again. And if Christ be in you, you are in Him. You could not be Him, be in Him, except He be in you. And you cannot know except the day dawn in your heart. Jesus said, in that day you will know. When the day dawns in your heart, when the light of life appears in your heart, when Christ Himself is revealed in your heart, in your soul, in that day you will know, I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. If that day does not dawn in our hearts, then we just continue ignorant of reality, ignorant of the truth, ignorant of what is finished, ignorant of the consummation. Okay. These fringes and ribbon of blue were there at the garments so that when the people of God, who were and are so prone to cast their gaze downward, away from the face of God, away from whence we look, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the appearing, the glorious appearing of Christ. Philippians 3:20. Would ever be reminded to once again lift up our eyes and see from whence comes our help. Lift up our eyes and behold our salvation. This is the turning of the heart. It is a continual reminder to continually be looking unto our salvation. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Unlike Lot's wife, who looked away from her salvation, that's what she did. It is, as the writer of Hebrew penned, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the author and finisher. That is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the purpose, the goal, the end of the matter from the beginning. The Lord who declares the end from the beginning. This is the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts, that we would yield to that work. Yield to the Spirit, that we may, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, be obedient unto turning to see the voice. And having turned to see the voice, that we may continue to yield unto the Spirit, who keeps us in the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That we would continue to yield unto the Spirit, and through Him and by Him, be obedient unto the heavenly vision, and walk in the obedience of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Lord bless you all. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.